CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. As we approach the first year of war fighting, and there is a call for more and more severe and more weapons and air warplanes from many states. There's also a call from the former Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, who is traveling, for more severe attacks on Ukraine by British-made weaponry, not just battle tanks, but also aircraft, something that now is a dispute between number 10 Downing and Mr. Sunak and the former prime minister. And that's British politics. I understand that. Politics are weighing in everywhere. And I wanted to go to your measure of South America, Anatole, and you mentioned Brazil staying out of the fight. A significant illustration of that is the journey by Olaf Scholz, the chancellor of Germany, as you well know, who is participating in the Ukraine conflict, now with tanks, but also since his Zeitenwende speech with the move away from Ostpolitik. He was with Lula da Silva, the new president, who was a former president of Brazil, when Mr. da Silva said, "We're not getting involved. We're a peace-loving nation." But the picture that meant most to me was a picture of Gabriel Boric, the new president of Chile in Santiago at the palace, standing next to Olaf Scholz, and on the wall above a desk that did not look used in the palace was a full-length portrait of Salvador Allende, the president of Chile who died defending his palace, is the story, against air attacks that were in part or wholly promulgated by actions of the United States government. 1972, 50 years. No one has forgotten. Certainly President Boric has not forgotten, though he wasn't alive at that time. You and I know the story very well. This underlines the point that you made in our previous segment, that this is not a global war versus Russia and China. This is very much a, you'd have to say it, an a la carte war, where parts of the global north are participating and parts are sitting this out. Is that weighing on NATO? It's a long run-up to my question, but Olaf Scholz did not look uncomfortable standing there having an illustration of what went wrong when the U.S. was in charge of intervention.
Well, I mean, I think the answer is that people in the West, I mean, Western journalists to an extraordinary extent have forgotten that. But of course, people in Chile haven't forgotten it, or anywhere else where America has intervened or backed military coups in the past. And also, I think something that the Brazilian and other governments have been doing over Russia is to put down a pretty strong marker that they are not going to follow the United States in the economic isolation of China. Because, you know, the next stage that America is pressing on the German government with, you know, considerable support from within Germany, but also considerable opposition within Germany, is for Germany to join in basically, you know, disinvesting in China, blocking certain kinds of Chinese trade and so forth. Well, so many countries around the world by now simply cannot do that, even if they wanted to. They are far too economically dependent on trade with China. And I think they want to make that clear. The other thing that the United States has to be should be being very careful about is this business of confiscating assets and very large sums belonging to important countries in dollars, because after all, U.S. global primacy depends very heavily on confidence in the dollar and trust in the safety and the inviolability of holdings of American bonds, for example. Now, if the perception, becomes general that these can be confiscated at will and permanently by the United States, countries are going to look for alternatives, and that could be very, very damaging to the economic basis of American global leadership.
Here we are at just a measure of the politics of Europe. I wanted to focus, because we can't do all countries. I mentioned Olaf Scholz and President Macron. Boris Johnson is campaigning for his seat back. Is that obvious to the British public? Is it obvious to the Sunak government? I can't tell from this distance.
I think it's pretty obvious to most people in Britain. You know, Johnson left office as one of the most discredited prime ministers in the entire history of this country, exceeded among very few others only by his immediate successor, Liz Truss. I think most people know that this is just a way of Johnson partly just trying to get revenge and maybe even, you know, trying to become prime minister again. Unfortunately, I mean, parts of the media here who, you know, when he was prime minister, you know, pointed out his complete untrustworthiness. Going back many years, I knew him a bit as when he was a journalist. But part of the problem of this war in Ukraine, like so many wars, of course, is that it disables the critical faculty, as far as all too many journalists and analysts are concerned. I personally am reminded of an old saying, I think it was Dr. Johnson in the 18th century, though I'd have to check that. Patriotism, the last refuge of the scoundrel.
That sounds like Johnson, yes. But Boris Johnson is talking about fighter jets. He's talking about supporting Kyiv completely. Ben Wallace, a member of Sunak's government, former member of Johnson's government, he's Minister of Defense. No solid decision on Britain sending fighter jets to Ukraine. It would appear in our final 30 seconds that Britain has not decided whether it's in this war or in this war to win.
Yes, I mean, Britain is on the extreme side, partly because it regards itself as a leader of the East Europeans, the Poles, and so forth. But on the other hand, the British government has never really explained to the British public why it would be worth risking the nuclear annihilation of Britain for total Ukrainian victory and sovereignty over Crimea. Unfortunately, the media is also not asking that question. But if it ever becomes an active and immediate question, then the British government and people like Johnson will have some answering to do.
Anatole Leavitt, Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need me, I'll be by your side.